Well, thank you for being here today. Thank you, choir, for your beautiful work. I'm grateful for the support and wonderful care given to me by those who work in university relations, my sweet family, and all those who participated or listened while this address came together. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to share my witness. The Heavenly Father is mindful of each one of us. He wants us to come back and live with Him. He has made a way for us to prepare for that day. In addition to that, He has prepared a way for us to have a meaningful life and to live each day in a purposeful way. God wants us to live a remarkable and divine life. A testimony is a witness based on our own experiences or the experiences of others that helps us understand what is real. We are encouraged by prophets to seek our own witness that what they share comes from God. With that in mind, after last general conference, I sought my own witness about ministering. I wanted to understand what the transition from home and visiting teaching to ministering meant. I also wanted to know if there was something more that Heavenly Father wanted me to understand that I currently didn't understand well enough. I asked myself the following questions. What would happen if I purposefully thought about, prayed for, and then acted upon the inspiration I received to help another person? Would my relationship with God change? Would the way I saw and interacted with people around me change? Knowing that my experiences alone are not a sufficient witness, I enlisted the help of 20 wonderful BYU-Idaho students who agreed to participate and practice ministering every day for 2 weeks and record their experiences in their journals. I didn't know what we would learn together, but I had faith that God revealed something to President Russell M. Nelson that was meant for us to better understand. The only way to understand something better is to engage with it, so that's what I hope the students and I could do. In May, I extended an invitation for the students to participate in deliberate daily ministering. I asked them to pray for inspiration from Heavenly Father about who they could minister to each day. I asked them to write down their impressions and what happened when they acted on them. I shared scriptures and quotes from prophets with the students to guide them. One of the quotes I shared was from President Spencer W. Kimball, quote, "So often our acts of service consist of simple encouragement or of giving mundane help with mundane tasks. But what glorious consequences can flow from mundane acts and from small but deliberate deeds," close quote. During the 2 weeks, I checked in with the students to find out how they were doing. One student related by email the following experience she had. This is an excerpt from the email she sent me, quote, "On May 30th, I was saying my morning prayers and asked Heavenly Father to inspire me to know who He needed me to minister to that day. While I was reading my scriptures, I had a distinct impression from the Spirit I needed to send a postcard to my great aunt in Washington. At first, I questioned the idea. No one sends postcards anymore, and I haven't talked to my great aunt in years. Questions like, what if she doesn't remember me? What if she thinks it's weird to get a postcard with pictures of a religious school for a church she's not even a member of, crossed my mind immediately after I felt the impression. Once the doubt subsided, I realized that that was the answer I received to my prayer and knew I needed to act on it, no matter how odd it sounded. I knew it had to be the Spirit, because I would have never thought of my great aunt or a postcard of all things. That day, I bought a postcard at the bookstore and was able to get her address from a relative. On the back of the postcard, I didn't write anything profound. I just wrote about how I felt I needed to let her know I was thinking of her and wanted to let her know that I loved her. I reminded her of the time I visited her a few years ago and my memories of the beautiful trees by her house. I told her I hoped she was doing well. With a leap of faith, I sent the postcard in the mail. 4 days later, I received a phone call from a number I didn't recognize. I picked up the phone, surprised to hear my great aunt's voice. She told me she was having a rough day. She informed me that she had just had surgery on both of her feet a few days previous. She said she was feeling so low all day until her husband came in with the mail, and the mail was a postcard I sent to her. She said it was just what she needed in that moment. She said it really lifted her spirits and made her day to know someone was thinking about her. She concluded, quote, "I had no idea she was having surgery on both her feet, but I know Heavenly Father did. I know that He knows my aunt individually and is aware of her circumstances. I am grateful I felt that prompting from the Spirit and chose to act immediately. I was able to see that I was an instrument in the Lord's hands that day, and I was able to make a difference in the life of my aunt. I learned that we can minister to those we don't know very well, and that it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be as simple as a postcard. I also learned the importance of listening to the Spirit and then acting on those promptings, no matter how silly we think we will feel. I know that Heavenly Father is aware of all His children, and He will help us be an answer to the prayers of others if we are willing to obey. Close quote. I want to share my witness along with Abby's that I know when we seek to engage in the work of ministering, our Heavenly Father will lead us to meet the specific needs of others. After 2 weeks, the students and I got together in small groups of 4 to 6 to talk about our experiences and what we learned. I wish I could show all of the conversations, but we recorded about 90 minutes, and President Eyring strongly encouraged me not to play the whole thing here. He actually didn't say anything, other than I needed to keep this to about 25 minutes. So in the interest of time, I selected a few pieces of our conversations that I hope represent the feelings of most of the students. I sincerely thank the students for their willingness to participate and for the amazing video crew that helped produce these segments. In this first segment, the students and I talked about how their prayers to Heavenly Father changed as they began to seek revelation to guide their daily ministry. Let's watch and listen to their responses.
For me and my experience is that I'm not the best person at praying, and so often I would just go through the motions, like pray for this, I'm thankful for this, and stuff like that. But during this experiment, I found that I was much more active in my prayers. I was more involved with what I was saying and what I was thinking than the normal thanks for the day or stuff like that. I was actively listening and searching for things that I really could do to make someone's day better.
I noticed that during my prayers, I spent so much more time listening, just like on my knees asking, you know, who can I serve? What can I do? And just taking the time to just sit there before getting up and moving on with whatever I was doing and just be quiet and just listen for the Spirit to prompt me and to let me know what I needed to do. Because you can ask all you want, but if you never listen, you're never going to get an answer. So that was a change for me, because I like to keep things moving. And so to just sit and just calm down and listen was interesting.
I really felt the Spirit in a greater abundance during my prayers. And then throughout the day, as I was prepared in the morning and at night to reach out to other people to try and see who I could help.
So for me, that very first day I started the ministering challenge, I noticed in my prayers that I wasn't rushing God anymore. That a lot of times we get in the habit of saying quick prayers, and I could really take the time to think and feel the revelation God was giving me, not only to minister unto others, but also for my personal life.
I noticed that my prayers went from being very self-centered to what I needed, to what I wanted to look out for others, what opportunities the Lord needed me to serve others. And so my prayers became a lot more meaningful because I was no longer focusing on myself.
So for me, I didn't really notice that my prayers changed so much, just because I've always kind of prayed to look for kind of opportunities of service. But the thing I did notice was I was more aware as I went through my days about the people around me. And it was the, do they need help, you know, or are they okay? And really being mindful of that.
I guess for me, I was able to really feel the Spirit a lot more when I prayed. I listened a lot more to Heavenly Father. I kind of had fallen into the habit of just doing repetitive prayers, but this ministering activity was able to give me an opportunity to listen, to kind of focus my prayers on a specific point.
The students had varying responses, but for the most part, something about their prayers changed. Their prayer seems to be more earnest. They showed a willingness to hear the word of the Lord for them. In the case of Annalise, she had already been praying for experiences, but she became more aware of the people around her. In the second segment, the students and I talked about how the way they saw other people changed as they sought for opportunities to practice daily ministering. Let's watch and listen to their responses.
I found that often when I'd be interacting with people, that like if someone did something that was annoying or whatever, that I wasn't so angry. Like I wasn't as quick to anger, and that I could see them in a more Christ-like light. Like I could see their light and not just, oh, they're imperfect human beings and like they, you know, make mistakes, but I was able to see them through Christ's eyes, that he loved them. And I felt like I loved them more also as I saw them, how Christ sees them.
I found it easier to forgive people. Just like little things that shouldn't bug me but do, like they didn't bug me as much throughout those weeks and after too, because after doing the 2 weeks of service, I like continued to serve because it just felt good too. And so, yeah, forgiving was way easier.
There was this girl outside of the Ricks building. She always holds the door open. She did it last semester and she's doing it this semester. And I practically live in the Ricks building, and I'd always see her and all these people always see her, but I never talked to her and I never approached her. I never knew her name. So I finally was able to talk to her, get to know her, and I was able to see not only the service she was doing for others, but I was able to see just how amazing she is as a person, and I was able to see a lot of people doing service unto me and unto others as well.
Well, what I really liked was sometimes I feel like we serve just because we know we should, and we know how it makes us feel and how it makes other people feel, but we don't really think about the needs that we're trying to help them with. And I feel like for me, it was a great opportunity to grow closer to Jesus Christ and how he serves us. He doesn't serve just to serve, he serves with a purpose for according to our needs. And I loved that I was able to feel kind of more specific things that I could do for people, even just really, really tiny things. I was able to see them as a person that needed certain things instead of, oh, I need to be serving someone.
I feel like I no longer see people on campus as strangers or even just other members of the church, but I see them as potential friends, people that could receive help, could receive, you know, guidance in their life. And I feel like I was able to become that in some small ways for them.
I think I started to see people through Christ's eyes. He spent his whole life spending time with people individually and getting to know people individually. And so I just saw the special qualities that each person has and the special qualities that I could get to know in a person. I saw what Christ would see, and I wanted to spend more time with people and get to know people individually.
Did you hear what they said? The way they saw others did begin to change. The people around them were no longer obstacles to happiness, but people to get to know and people to love. In this third segment, the students and I talked about how their interactions with other people changed as they sought to apply the revelation they were receiving from their prayers. Let's watch and listen to their responses.
I feel like I put myself into situations that I wouldn't normally find myself in, which is kind of scary, because we're used to just being with our close friends or with our family, but when we were praying purposely to who we should minister to, it gave me opportunities to reach out of my comfort zone and get to know, like Alex was mentioning, get to know people that I probably wouldn't have met if I hadn't been doing it.
I noticed that I became more confident in my interactions with others because I had that love for them that Heavenly Father had blessed me with. I was able to see them for who they truly were. And there was an experience that I had just the very first day that I ministered. I was having kind of a stressful day, and I went up to the temple to take time to study for myself. Then a young man came around who had autism, and he asked if he could sit next to me, and I said sure, and then he wanted to talk, and then the spirit told me that I needed to put my stuff away because it wasn't about me and it was about him. And I was able to listen to a lot that he was going through, and we cried together, we laughed together, and it just really opened my eyes to how much Heavenly Father loves every single one of his children.
I noticed for me, my interactions with people became more personal. It wasn't just the guy who sits next to me in my bio lab or the girl who sits next to me in my religion class. It became that I actually got to know their names, I got to know where they're from, and I actually got to know like who they are as a person, and then even talk to them beyond those classes. Because before I would just kind of go throughout my day, plug in my headphones, walk into class, I really wouldn't pause to look at anybody. I was just focusing on me and making sure I was taken care of. But I've noticed myself more kind of taking my headphones out and talking to people as I walk and, you know, chatting to somebody in the MC while I'm sitting there at lunch, or, you know, asking how somebody's day is, because you just never know what people are going through.
Well, one of the things that I thought about while trying and striving to minister was how Christ would go about it. And he was very observant, and he noticed people's needs and then went to go meet those. And so I noticed that in between classes, I would spend a lot of the time on my phone, either walking to a different building or just waiting for my class to begin. President Nelson gave his challenge to have a week fast of from social media, and then to give up something for 3 weeks and spend that time doing something else. And I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but I took the 3 week challenge to get rid of what I was doing on my phone and instead just delete the app I was on all the time, and to just spend time with people, interacting with them. And I noticed that as I did so, I became a lot more involved in their lives, just simply being there for that 5-10 minutes in between classes. And I was able to feel like I was actually making a difference in people's lives simply by talking.
So for me, one of the things I really struggled with is depression. And it got really bad during this challenge. So one of the things I noticed is that as I was looking for opportunities to help others, it forced me not only to get out of myself to help them, but they're like, hey, something's not quite right. So it opened that dialogue to help me too. And that I thought was really interesting, because for me it was the, oh, this isn't about me, you know, I'm helping others. And it was the, no, that's not the way this works. And I knew that was from Heavenly Father.
One of the key results the students identified as we spoke was that as they engaged in ministering, their focus or their vision moved from a focus on self to a focus on others. They were more willing to engage with the people around them at their apartments, on campus, while they traveled, with their friends and their family at home. In this final segment, the students and I talked about experiences and thoughts they had as they practiced daily ministering. All of the stories were too long to include in the segment, but they witnessed of how well God knows his children's needs. And if we choose, we can serve him in meeting those specific needs. Let's watch and listen to their responses.
More than anything, I was able to recognize the good that I was doing. And I think we can get really down on ourselves and feel discouraged for not doing enough. And we certainly should feel that push to always do better, but in recognizing the opportunities that the Lord was already giving me, it helped me to see the people around me in a better light, because they were opportunities for me to serve them. They were children of God that were placed in my path, and I and theirs also.
I might not be perfect in any type of way, but if by ministering in these small instances can lead to experiences that help people change over a lifetime, like, why can't we do that? You know, it's too special not to. We become his hands.
We may not know people's needs, but God definitely does. And through ministering, we're able to act as his hands to be able to fulfill those needs.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to keep doing. I mean, it was definitely a challenge to remember to do it every day and incorporate it into your daily life. But I feel like it was so rewarding to be able to kind of step into the shoes of the Savior, I mean, in the smallest way possible, but just the smallest glimpse into how he sees us and how he serves us
and how we can also do the same thing. And it's not something that I want to miss every day. I want to be able to experience that as often as possible.
I think that we should just focus on Christ. He should be the center of our lives, and if he's the center of our lives, then all of this will fall in place. We'll be able to see the people around us through his eyes, and we'll be able to serve the people around us like he would.
What wouldn't we give to see others through Christ's eyes, for Christ to be our vision? Many of the students repeated the feeling that they wanted to continue practicing daily ministering because of the changes they were feeling in themselves and others. Now, I'd like to apply what we've learned so far to the parable of the Good Samaritan. In devotional last week, Brother Bryce Meekham asked you to ponder why Christ used a Samaritan in the parable. I want you to pay attention to the connection between sight and doing while I read the following verses in Luke. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he, answering, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, answering, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that shewed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Close quote. First, I want you to remember that the parable of the Good Samaritan was given in response to a series of questions that first began with, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Second, I think we can agree the thieves, priest, and Levi all saw the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho different than the Samaritan saw him. The thieves, I believe, saw him as an opportunity to get something for nothing. The priest and Levi saw him as someone to be avoided because they would have to give up something for nothing in return. The Samaritan saw the dying man as someone of intrinsic worth and was willing to give up his time and his money to bring the man back to life. Please spend time reflecting on who the thieves, priest, Levi, and Samaritan represent. Now, can I ask you a few hard questions? I'll take your silence as a yes. Number one, how do you see other people? Do you see other people and your interactions with them as an opportunity to get something or to be avoided because you may have to give up something? Or do you see other people as they really are, as God sees them? Are you willing to give what you have to help their lives be just a little or a lot better without thinking about what you'll get in return? Another way of thinking about this is, do you see your interactions with people as a transaction? I am kind to you because I want you to be kind to me. The other way, Christ's way, is to say, I am kind to you regardless of how you are to me. Number two, who are you practicing becoming each day? The difference between how well you perform at anything will almost always come down to the amount of time you spent practicing it. When I was a teenager, I became frustrated with how I played basketball, which wasn't very well compared to star players I knew. However, one day I realized that for the amount of time I spent practicing, I was actually pretty good. That totally changed the way I felt about my ability to play. So are you practicing becoming like the thieves, the priest, and the Levite? Or are you practicing becoming like the Samaritan? The thieves, priest, and Levite all behaved very naturally. The Samaritan was the only one who did something that was truly remarkable, truly divine. Like the lawyer who correctly understood what he needed to do to inherit eternal life or exaltation, we must keep the first and second commandments. I testify that we cannot keep those commandments without ministering to those who are around us. When we engage with our Heavenly Father in His work, He will give us revelation on how He wants us to help Him. While I was preparing for this devotional address, the Lord must have sensed that I was still holding back in my desire to serve. I still wanted to avoid it because I wasn't sure I would get what I wanted. An impression came into my mind that I want to share with you. Quote, "Don't complain. I really can't do my own work without you. I choose to let you help me." Close quote. I believe God chooses to let us help Him, not because we're great at it, but because we need practice becoming like Him. Exaltation will come to those who practice being like our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That practicing is ministering. Christ's atonement makes it possible for us to practice, make mistakes, and try again in faith that we will improve and that there's a reason to improve. As we engage in God's work, we will come to know Him better. We will begin to see people differently, and we will treat people differently. The only way to keep the first and second commandment is to engage in the work of the Lord. Our efforts in practicing ministering through divine assistance can bless the lives of all the people we encounter. Most importantly, it prepares us to become like God and live with Him eternally. I thank God for a prophet who leads us in this our day. Please join with those who have already chosen to rise up and assist in the work of the Lord. I invite you to live a truly remarkable, truly divine life. Please do not live one more forgettable day locked inside of yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.